Law won. We count on that. We count on that. Again, here with the director of the Arizona Register of Contractors, and you've been sitting in that chair now almost 2 years, if my memory serves me right.
Well, not quite 2 years. February 9th, I think, was my first day of 2015. I think it was appointed on the 3rd and started on the 9th.
Now, when we're talking about the law, it's important to know the law. And this texter wants to know, how much can a handyman do?
Oh, that's a great question.
He has done some minor work for his neighbors, like toilets and sink repairs. And if my neighbor, quote, offers me money, am I allowed to accept it?
The handyman exemption, I can remember the fight we had getting that through the legislature. The handyman exemption, explain it.
Well, firstly, we call it the handyman exemption. It's actually 3211, Arizona Revised Statute 3211.21. And that statute lists people who are not required to be licensed. So when we talk about the handyman exemption, firstly, if my neighbor gave me money, I would accept it. So, however,
that's neighbor to neighbor. You're not talking about a contract.
Business. What the handyman exemption covers is no work can be done over $1,000. So that means 1,000.00, not 1,001. Now that's a statute that's been passed by our state legislature. So what that includes is, this is what it includes. It includes anything that doesn't require a permit, can't have a permit. You may not do plumbing or electrical work. And the $1,000 works like this. So say your homeowner wants you to install a door today, and they give you $900 for it. And tomorrow, they give you this whole list, and tomorrow you go back and you do another. You can't do that. It's per project. I encourage you, the texter, to look at Arizona Revised Statute 3211.21. Find that area. I think it's is it 14? F.
It's pretty. It really is a pretty narrow exemption.
It's pretty narrow. So under $1,000 or less. No permit required by the municipality. So you could be in a municipality that requires a permit for a ceiling fan. You can't do it there. You might be in a municipality that doesn't require one, and you can hang it. You can't run the wires. You can't do the electric. You can screw the ceiling fan up.
And am I right? It's $1,000 labor and material.
Labor
combined.
And material. Now that's whether you. It's not if you're the person. So.
If the homeowner buys that $1,200 front door,
you can't install it because it's over $1,200. So it's material and labor, total inclusive. Doesn't matter who paid for it. So
there you go.
Does that answer your question, Romy?
That's what I was going to ask. Okay. What does the $1,000 include? Because
material and
labor,
like
you said, a door can easily go over that.
All right, we're getting tight on time here, but we've got to talk about this labor shortage. I mean, I have grown men that own roofing companies, drywall companies, painting companies, electrical companies, air conditioning companies, plumbing companies, crying to me every day about what are we going to do about our labor shortage. I don't know one Rosie certified partner that isn't hiring right now.
Okay. Well, here's what we're doing at the Register of Contractors. Firstly, I mean, I grew up in the industry. You know, I was my dad's first backhoe. I didn't operate a backhoe, but I was his first backhoe. And there's always been laborers up and down in the state of Arizona. I'm sure the rest of the country as well. There was always up and down shortages. What we have here is we have a twofold situation. We have a market that was widely expanded in 2008 and crashed. That is really almost like Yahoo stock at 500.
Oh, 60,000 permits a year.
Right. Yeah. So it was really it was unreal. And then we have a situation where the market collapsed. Some people left the trades.
So 8,000 permits a year.
There you go. So here's what we got. But then someplace in the middle is where the real market is.
Amen.
Where the real market is. So, and these are my beliefs. These are my beliefs, but there's some place there. So we've got twofold things. We've got people that have left, And then we've got people, and then we have no pipeline to fill. We're not educating our young people in construction science professions. Okay, so what we're trying to do is we've got Arizona Construction Career Days is one of the things that we work on, and we bring like 2,000 high school kids. We don't. Roseanne Canizales does, and her team does.
God bless her.
We do. They bring them in once a year, and we show them about construction.
That's school buses from all over the state.
All over the state.
We'll keep that posted.
Yeah. Right, from the Indian reservations all the way down, all over the place. So it's great. It's really a terrific thing. What's happened in the industry is the owners of the businesses no longer have time to train. The way I learned the business, and the way you, Rosie, you learned the business, was we learned from the people we worked with, and that's not happening anymore. So as far as what are we going to do about it, the government can't fix it. The government can hopefully we're trying to help clean the playing field off. But what the trades can do is the trades can go to their PTOs and their school boards because they're the citizens there, and they can demand these kind of educations back in schools. Not shop. We don't need popsicle birdhouses. We need people that know how to build high-rises like this is here, how to build the schools and those kind of things. And that's what we can do. We can take responsibility ourselves to go out there and push for this and demand this kind of education.
Construction
science professionals.
Absolutely.
There's nothing that's not science about it. Anybody in the business knows it.
Jeff Leadham, Director of Arizona Register of Contractors, thanks for joining us this morning. It really is the science of building.
Happy birthday, too.
Oh, absolute birthday to my daughter, Cameron Hodson. I love you, sweetie.
There you go.